man became a living being, a living soul, a speaking spirit. And he was given this powerful gift of speech.
Only man has been given the gift of speech, and only man can determine his destiny by his words. Join Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim today to understand more about words, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory. We have our good friend Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we are talking about the words of our mouth. There's power in our words. Power for good or power for bad. Power for cursing or bad things and power for blessing and good things. And who decides what we speak? We do. And how do we get words in our heart? Jesus said, put the word in your eyes. Proverbs says, put the word in your eyes and your ears, and it gets down in the midst of your heart. Jesus said, out of the overflow or the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the Bible tells us exactly how to speak overflow and blessing. We get the word of God in our eyes, in our ears, and it gets down into our heart. So Billy is teaching us about God's word and saying it out our mouth. And it's been great. Oh, I've been ministered to this week.
And we've gone back to the very beginning, and we've seen that the speech that we have is a gift of God, and we'll be accountable for it. Jesus said we would. The Bible teaches that we're accountable for the words we say. And it began in the garden. It began when God created man out of, well, he put him in the garden later, but at the creation of man. And the Bible says, and we taught this, and where it comes from, the Aramaic, how it shows to you that man became a living being, a living soul, a speaking spirit. And he was given this powerful gift of speech. And I like to study so much from what the Hebrews know about this. It goes way back there. And I love the way they say things. And in this book, Hofetz Chaim.
It is so anointed.
You have this book. You could get this book from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And they said God didn't just give us this power without giving us rules of how it works and directions of how to use it. Let me read it the way they said it. By taking hold of our power of speech, we take hold of life itself. But Hashem, the name, that's what they call God, does not simply hand us this tremendous power and leave us to discover how it works. He gives us detailed instructions in the form of laws, which they call Shmiras HaLashon, the guarding of the tongue. And if you want to know how much God has to say about it, just go to your concordance, look up words, mouth, speech, tongue. Just look those up. And you get all these laws of God, which tell you about the operation of the power of speech and how it works. And they say the sheer number of Torah directives relating to speech has no direct parallel in any other function. He told us more about the mouth and the tongue than he told us about the eyes.
Well, isn't it interesting? I just noticed this verse, how God himself operates by his own laws.
That's right.
This says in Genesis 1:22, and God blessed them, saying.
And God blessed them,
saying.
Saying.
Be fruitful.
He did not
multiply.
He did not bless them thinking.
No.
He did not have this great idea upon his throne.
He did not create the earth thinking either.
No.
He said, let there be light. So he's just teaching us to do what he does. Why
Absolutely.
Does he do that?
Absolutely.
Because it works.
Now you know, there is Rabbi Shlomo Riskin. And he usually has an article in the Jerusalem Post. And I like to read after him. And I didn't bring, I brought one article by him, but another article, he talked about Moses, Moshe. And the reason why Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. And I've heard all kinds of, you know, things and theories and ideas, but I believe he's right. And other rabbis agree that God told Moses just when they're ready to go in the promised land. Now, when they've been out in the wilderness, Moses struck the rock and water came forth. But when coming up to the promised land, getting ready to go in the promised land, God says, speak to the rock. But Moses didn't speak to it. He struck it three times. So the Lord said, I think it was three. Don't quote me on that one because I'm not reading it right now. But the Lord didn't let him go in. Now, Rabbi Riskin said, he was to demonstrate. He was the only one spiritually mature enough to do it. But he was to demonstrate to those children of Israel that they could go in and take the promised land by the power of the spoken word. Mm-hmm. And he did not demonstrate it to them, and no one else was able to.
Yeah.
Now, that's what Jesus did for us in Mark chapter 11. He demonstrated when he cursed the fig tree. He demonstrated whosoever saith to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. He demonstrated how it worked. Moses should have done that.
He should have spoken to
it. He should have spoken to it like God said and demonstrate the power of the spoken word.
But instead, he did what he'd done in the past.
Yeah, he did what he did in the past.
So that sounds like something we'd do,
doesn't
it? Yeah,
sounds like something. Oh, God forgive us. Oh, we don't want to point anything at Moses, do we?
No.
But so they get that, the laws, they get that from the scripture, Psalm 34, 12 and 13. Which man desires life? Life, life, life. There's a connection between the tongue and life. Which man desires life, who loves to see good, guard your tongue from evil. So they call all these many scriptures in the Bible, which tell us about our tongue, our mouth, our this or that. They call it, they put it under the guarding of the tongue. Remember how David said, I will put a watch over my mouth.
Watch over my mouth.
I will guard. Maybe that's why God said he's a man after my own heart. He watches his mouth. Then Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
I love it.
Now, there's another scripture that I want to look at today, Proverbs 16:24. Let's look that one up if you have your Bible with you, because death and life are in the power of the tongue.
So you could say life and death, or death and life, are in the power of your speaking.
Your speaking. And death is sickness. Its ultimate end is death, you know.
Right.
All sickness is a form of death. So health is life. And this scripture, Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So pleasant words, devarim, words, devar, are health to your bones. Glory to God. I'm not going to have osteoporosis.
Me either. I have strong bones.
I'm not going to have weak bones. In fact, I do have very strong bones. Strong bones. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul, sweet to your mind.
Love words, sweet words.
Yeah.
Pleasant words.
You won't go crazy with them. And they're health to your bones. And of course, this has as its basis, we go back to Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. These are God's words. So if we take God's words and we put them in our heart, then we, bless the Lord, can have health. Look at verse 7 and 8 of that same chapter. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. There is a scripture which tells us in chapter 4 of Proverbs. Look how much. Chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. You got to have God's word for it first.
Yeah.
My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. He lives by his law. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them,
life.
And health.
Life and health.
To all your flesh. Now, pleasant words, remember, based on God's word, are health to your bones. Now, I want to read you something from a book by Yonggi Cho, Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho. This book was printed in 1979. Its pages are yellow. I'm sure that's when I got it. It was printed by Logos International, and they're not there anymore. But Dr. Yonggi Cho was the pastor of the largest full gospel church in the world. He had at that time 80,000 members in
what
South Korea.
He got now?
Oh my goodness! I'm sure hundreds of thousands.
700,000.
Hundreds of thousands. And so he wrote this book, The Fourth Dimension, The Key to Putting Your Faith to Work for a Successful Life. And my son Chip again, I guess I'm going to have to start sending him an offering. he reminded me of this chapter in here.
He probably owes you some revelation.
Probably owes me some, yeah. So I want to read to you directly from Dr. Cho's book. Now, if you had 80,000 at the time, you're up in hundreds of thousands now, you probably know
hundreds
a little about faith.
Maybe millions.
The creative power of the spoken word is the name of this chapter. There are certain steps we must follow for faith to be properly incubated, and a certain central truth we must learn about the realm that faith operates in. There is also a basic principle about the spoken word that we need to understand. So I want to speak to you about the creative power of the spoken word, and the reason why the usage of it is of such importance. One morning, I was eating breakfast with one of Korea's leading neurosurgeons, who was telling me about various medical findings on the operation of the brain. He asked, "Dr. Cho, did you know that the speech center in the brain rules over all the nerves? You ministers really have power. Because according to our recent findings in neurology, the speech center in the brain has total dominion over all the other nerves."
Wow.
I laughed, saying, "I've known that for a long time." He asked me, "How did you know that?" "In the world of neurology, these are new findings." I replied that I had learned it from Dr. James. "Who is this Dr. James?" he asked. "Why, he was one of the famous Bible doctors in biblical times, nearly 2,000 years ago," I replied. "And in his book, chapter 3, the first few verses, Dr. James clearly defines the activity and importance of the tongue and the speech center." The neurosurgeon was completely amazed. "Does the Bible really teach about this?" "Yes," I answered. "The tongue is the least member of our body, but it can bridle the whole body." Then this neurosurgeon began to expound
That's
their
good.
Findings. He said that the speech nerve center had such power over all the body that simply speaking can give one control over his body to manipulate it in the way he wishes. He said, "If someone keeps on saying, 'I'm going to become weak,' then right away all the nerves receive that message."
Oh my goodness, think of that.
"And they say, 'Oh, let's prepare to become weak, for we have received instructions from our central communication that we should become weak.' Then, they in natural sequence adjust their physical attitudes to weakness." Now, this is the doctor talking, the neurosurgeon, neurologist. Quote, "If someone says, 'Well, I have no ability, I can't do this job,' then right away, all the nerves begin to declare the same thing. 'Yes,' they respond, 'we received instructions from the central nervous system saying that we have no abilities to give up striving to develop any capacity for capability. We must prepare ourselves to be part of an incapable person.'" The doctor still speaking. "If someone keeps saying, 'I'm very old, I'm so very old and I'm so tired, I can't do anything.'"
Oh, mercy.
"Then right away, the speech central control responds, giving out orders to that effect. The nerves respond, yes, we are old. We are ready for the grave. Let's be ready to disintegrate. If someone keeps on saying that he is old, then that person is soon going to die.
Yep.
The power of life, and death is in the
Billy and I do
tongue.
Not talk
no.
old, do we, Billy?
No, we do not. We are young and full of vigor and
yes,
vitality.
That's right.
We barely to middle age because we're going to live 120.
That's right.
We've been given 120. The neurosurgeon continued saying, that man should never retire. Once a man retires.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Even I've read this recently in some of their studies, that the people who retire don't live as long as those who keep on working.
That's right. Ken and I are old enough to retire.
No.
So are you. But we're not going
to
do it.
According to the world, yeah.
Yeah.
But for God, we can't retire.
But we have our youth renewed like the eagles.
Yes. That neurosurgeon continued saying, that man should never retire. Once a man retires,
true.
He keeps repeating to himself, I am retired.
And everybody he sees.
Everybody sees.
You know, I'm retired.
I'm retired
this
now.
This is the truth. And he just keeps going down and down. You guys out there, girls that are retired, turn it around. Just say, I'm retired.
Yes.
Oh, mercy.
Once a man retires, he keeps repeating, I am that retired.
So true.
And all the nerves start responding and become less active and ready for a quick death. Now, this is Cho talking. That conversation carried much meaning to me.
Oh, amen.
It made an impact on my life. For I could see that one important usage of the spoken word is the creation of a successful personal life. People easily adapt to speaking in a negative way. Boy, am I poor. I don't even have any money to give to the Lord. When an opportunity does come for a job with good salary, the nervous system responds, quote, I'm not able to be rich because I haven't received that reverse instruction from my nerve center yet. I'm supposed to be poor, so I can't accept this job. I can't afford to have money.
I can't have money and be poor. That is so
isn't that good?
Dr. Cho, that's just great.
Life like attracts light. And since you act as if you were a poor person, you attract poverty.
That's right.
This attraction, if it remains consistent, will allow you to permanently dwell in poverty. Exactly as the Bible, and this is Cho, exactly as the Bible said nearly 2,000 years ago, it is so today. Medical science, actually more than 2,000 years ago, said that back in the 6,000 years ago.
Right.
Medical science has just recently discovered this principle. This one neurosurgeon said that people should keep saying to themselves, quote, I am young, I am able, I can do the work of a young person.
I can.
No matter what my chronological age is.
That is right.
The nerves of that person will then become alive and receive power and strength from the nerve center.
Amen.
The Bible says clearly that whosoever controls the tongue controls the whole body. See, they just only recently found it out, but James knew it. What you speak, you're going to get. If you keep on saying you're poor, then all your system conditions itself to attract poverty. You will feel at home in poverty. You would rather be poor and argue with people that aren't.
And get mad at prosperity when you hear about it. It's the truth. Think of that. Oh, mercy.
But if you keep on saying that you are able, you know that you are... that you can achieve success. Remember, that's what God told Joshua.
Yeah, meditate.
He said, meditate in this word. And there's one place
so
where that means mutter. So that, keep it so that you may have what? Good success in life. Okay, let's go back to this. If you keep on saying you're able, that you can achieve success, then all of your body would be bridled to success.
That's right.
You would be ready to meet any challenge, ready to conquer it. This is the reason you should never speak in a negative way. Dr. Cho says, we have a habit of making frequent use of words that have to do with dying. Common expressions are, oh, it's so warm I could die. Oh, I've eaten so much I could suffocate to death. Oh, I'm so happy I could die. Oh, I'm scared to death. Koreans, I didn't say this, Koreans, Dr. Cho said it. Koreans repeatedly use these negative words. That is the reason that throughout Korea's 5,000-year history, we have been constantly dying, constantly at war. My generation has never seen total peace in our country. I was born during World War II. I grew up during the Korean War. And now we still live in a country on the brink of war.
Mama.
Before you can be changed, you must change your language. If you do not change your language, you cannot change yourself.
That is true.
If you want to see your children change, you must teach them how to use proper language. If you want to see rebellious and irresponsible youth change into responsible adults, you must teach them this new language. Where can we learn this new language? From the best book of all, the Bible. Read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
That's the truth.
Acquire the Bible's language, the Bible's rules for the tongue.
Yeah.
Look up all the words on the tongue. Look up all the words on words. Look up all the words on mouth. And then just go by it. Bless the Lord. Look up the words on speak and speech. And go by it. Kenneth Hagin didn't make it up. God made it up. And wrote it in his book. And God, he says, find these words. Acquire the Bible's language, speak the word of faith, feed your nervous system with a vocabulary of constructive, progressive, productive, and victorious words. Keep those words, keep repeating them so that you can have control of your whole body. Then you will become victorious, for you will be completely conditioned to meet your environment and circumstances and achieve success.
Praise God. That is really, really good.
Isn't that good?
That says it all.
I hope you can find this book somewhere, The Fourth Dimension by Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho.
I'm sure it's still in print. That is great, Billy.
If not, you can listen to this broadcast over and over.
If it's not, somebody needs to get it in print because that is great. And Dr. Cho has certainly walked it out. Mm-hmm. You go to church over there on Sunday morning, friends, you've been to church. So I'm telling you, that is so good the way he expressed it. It's just excellent. You know, this works for you. You say, well, I've never done anything. I've never really even had a good job. Well, look at what you're doing. You're saying you never had a good job. Or you could be saying, you know, I've never had good health all my life. Wonder why? Because that's what you're saying. Now, I know this is true because we went from one way of life to another way of life using this revelation from the Word of God and finding out what God's Word says and then saying it ourselves. Our ears could hear it. Our heart, it came out of our heart. Our body could hear it. Our circumstances could hear it.
Mm-hmm. Your nerve system.
My nerves. And now, you know, the more I'm here, the longer I'm here on the earth, the more I talk about long life and longevity. Glory to God. I've got a book we're working on right now about longevity. Why? Because we need to know how to say what we want to come to pass. Mm-hmm. Billy and I'll be right back.
Get ready to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland along with other anointed ministers from across the country as we come together with believers from around the world. Spend an entire week in the Word at these life-changing meetings in 2008. Start things off in California at the West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th, this year at a new location. Join us at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Then head down to Texas for the Southwest Believers Convention from the 4th to the 9th of August at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Finally, come to the Great Lakes Believers Convention August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For more information on these or other Kenneth Copeland Ministries meetings, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
Today's offering day, and we want to pray over your offering. And you should, when you give, you should say over your offering what the Word says. Things like give, and it shall be given to me. Again, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto my bosom. Everything we do that we want to bring about in this life, we should do it on the Word of God. We should say what God says. If we want to increase, we should find increased scriptures in the Bible and do what it says. Now, here's one thing that God says in 2 Corinthians 9. It says, for one thing, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly, this is amplified, will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. So we can tell by that, if we want to reap sparingly, then we sow sparingly. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But on the other side, it says, he who sows generously, that blessing may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessing. So if we want to reap, what do? We sow. If we want to reap generously, we sow generously. Let each one give as he's purposed in his own mind and heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully, for God loves above all other things he takes pleasure in and is unwilling to abandon a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. God is able. So God's not the problem here. He's able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. Now, you take this scripture and you act on the word of God as you send your offering to help us keep coming to you on television and ministering. As you give your offering at church, your tithe at church, say these words. Look up 2 Corinthians 9 and say these words. God is able. So when you send your offering, you pray over it and you said, I release this into the work of God. God, you are able to make all grace and blessing come to me in abundance. So I receive that. I sow generously. I reap generously. I expect harvest. See, that's faith talking. Mm-hmm. Pray over your offering when you give. Release your faith and expect God to do something. You say, well, I just don't have any money. Well, give yourself. Give something you've got in your house. Begin to give. And you will begin to receive in Jesus' name. You think, you say, well, I just can't afford to tithe. Well, you're the very one that you certainly need to do it quick. If you can't afford, you do it in Jesus' name. And you become a part of a church and you support that church. We believe you prosper. We're saying with you that you prosper. Go to church this weekend. Billy and I'll be back next week. We're going to continue to talk about this. Your faith will continue to grow. We'll see you then, and remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you to help you learn the Word of God and build your faith, also to pray with you and encourage you with the love of God, and to help equip you to fulfill your destiny and reach out to those around you. Visit our website at kcm.org and surround yourself with the Word of God every day. This is the year of the fullness of blessing, a year for you to receive the blessing without measure. Monday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
To arrange, to speak.
Oh, I
to
love
arrange
that.
By speaking. So we arrange with our words our lives. You arrange your atmosphere. You arrange your attitude by your words.